Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 57 of Slam Fire Radio for May 16th, 2014. See how easy that is, Trevor? Not hard at all.
You got it on the first try.
First take and everything, yeah. It wasn't even, yeah. Not too much sugar this week for me, apparently.
Apparently. Well, you are under the weather.
I am, actually. I'm not feeling all that great, but here I am. Unlike Owen, who is away again because, well, he's not here.
That's right. He's somewhere other than where we are.
He is, indeed.
He's out making money.
Probably. These things got to happen. Anyway, whatever. We miss Owen, and we hope he comes back soon. But until then, we will carry on gallantly without him.
We're taking interviews for a part-time host.
There you go.
We're not, but we are.
So send in your submissions, and we'll play them on next week's show.
Unless your name is Jason Philp.
Right, in which case you're out. Or in, completely. If you're in the same room as me, you're definitely in. But if you're still way out west, there's no way.
Too much walnut. It would all be, oh, and then I shot my shotgun. And polished the walnut.
Anyway, for those of you who didn't quite get the too much sugar joke, I actually posted some outtakes from last week's show. They're just posted on our Facebook page and on our website. As a lot of you know, now we have a time limit on the show, so sometimes, and actually in most cases, outtakes don't make it in anymore. So it was just too funny last week. So if there's outtakes from now on, I'm just posting them on the Facebook page or our website. You can go check them out there and have a guffaw. Usually
at my expense.
At Trevor's expense.
That's why my pain can bring you a little bit of pleasure. Brighten up your otherwise dreary day at my expense.
Right.
Enjoy my pain.
Absolutely, and we will. Really.
Good. Yeah. I guess.
Okay, so Trevor, why don't you hit us off and tell us what you've done with guns this week?
Quite a bit of stuff.
Good.
Loading more 9mm major ammo for my open gun. That's always fun. Basically, I'm wasting powder. I don't have a decent recipe for this. I'm using two kinds of powder. And
are you mixing them?
Yes, of course.
Because that's what you're supposed to do for more potency, right?
Did you know that two 22 long rifle shells will make the perfect 38 special load?
I remember sharing that story quite a while ago. Yeah, an old guy at my range would pick up duds and then pour the 22s into 38s and shoot them. Wow. I'm surprised he had all his fingers.
So, anyway, I've got a pound of HS6, which is what Matt Lorette was using, and he recommended a load. I tried it. I don't like it. The gun actually does not function reliably on it. I put it through the chronograph, and it's
Wait. Your Glock isn't working right?
Yeah. So anyway, shut it. I should be getting out of my major loads 1,400 or so.
Right.
And this load
feet per second.
Correct. Yeah.
With a 124 grain.
Yes.
Okay. That's speedy.
Yeah, but I was only getting 1340.
Oh, you need an extra 60 out of that, man.
Yeah, well, I upped the powder charge by, like, you know, I went from 8 to 8.1. So the gun ran a little bit better today, but I still, couple of hundred rounds, and no, not a couple of hundred, about $150. Okay. I got two stovepipes.
Yeah.
So it's not quite hot enough, and the other...
Well, you're shooting the original caliber in that 1911 platform, right? So there shouldn't be any issues.
Is this ever going to get old?
Not for me.
No, it's not. Anyway, so my 2011.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's funnier this way. No malfunctions, or I haven't got any malfunctions recently since Sean worked on tuning the extractor.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problems I had with it this winter were all of my own doing. I was running grease in the gun instead of oil, and it was cold. And yeah. I was running, the ammunition was underpowered.
Yeah, no, I mean, those two things will do it, so, you know, whatever. Yeah,
tight
I mean,
tolerance gun, right?
I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I brought the gun to Sean Hansen there. I left it with him at Spring Bang, and he worked on it. And I gave him some ammo to test, and he actually thought the ammo was a little hot. I like how it runs the gun more so. In particular, I like how the dot tracks inside the optic. It's an open gun with a Seymour sight on top, which is a little red dot. And when you pump a lot of gas through the compensator on the front of the barrel, that's what keeps the barrel flat and makes the recoil come back into your hand instead of jump around. So the dot basically almost doesn't move, and it really increases your second shot, your quote-unquote double tap, if you will. So anyway, I had it out today, and that being said, I'm still not really super. I shot my Eagle first, and I think I still prefer a gun with iron sights as opposed to this red dot optic. I guess I've just been shooting fixed sights for so long that I'm accustomed to tracking them, and I'd have to get actually break out my timer and compare. But I feel like I'm shooting my 40 caliber standard gun faster than my 9mm major open gun.
Huh.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
And I think what it is, it's not that the gun, it's that I'm having a harder time to keep track of that red dot right now than I would sights on a slide. That make sense?
Sure.
You know, I mean, I've been shooting iron sights for 3 years, and now instead of lining up a front sight and a rear sight, I've got to look at this little red dot.
Yeah.
And I wait till maybe I'm waiting for the red dot to stop moving.
Well, that could be it. I mean,
more than I have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, it's going to take some time getting used to it. I tried doing some drills today. I had my timer on my belt, and I would draw the gun and punch out and shoot two and then look at the timer. And I was at 10 plus meters, like real good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just stepped it off. And I was, I think my best was 1.61 seconds from the draw to shoot two shots at 10 yards. And
I can do it faster than that, but I never hit the target.
Yeah, well, that's 2 alpha. And, you know, if I'm not getting 2 alpha, it's not, you know, it's not worth doing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's, again, you know, it's all new. And I think that's the thing that's going to be frustrating for me. I really feel like a newbie again.
Yeah.
And having to stop and learn a new gun, it really is hard on the ego.
Yeah, it is.
So.
But do you think it'll be worth it in the long run?
I don't know. I don't know how much I'm going to like open. If the gun runs reliably this summer and I'm not forever working on it, trying to get it to run reliably, then I think it'll be worth it. But if this gun, I mean, it doesn't run reliably, then I'll ditch it and just stay with my standard gun, because my standard gun runs like a Glock. It's flawless. It's so easy to shoot, so forgiving, and it's 100% reliable.
So why did you go to open in the first place?
Because I approach IPSC like a game.
Yeah.
And it's the upper echelon of the gear. It's the, and I'm a gear whore, and I love working on my guns. And so the division really appeals to me because I can modify the heck out of the gun, right?
Gotcha. Okay. I understand now.
But I want a gun that's...
Well, you want a gun that works well. Shoots
right.
good.
That's
yeah.
Right. Now, this thing is uber accurate and easy to shoot as well. I zeroed it at 15. And I just used an IPSC target patch, off a roll of patches. Drew a black circle on a piece of paper with a magic marker, and then I stuck an IPSC patch in the middle and just knocked the heck out of the patch at 15 freehand. Really
nice.
Easy to shoot, really accurate, yeah. So anyway, that was my practice session today. I did a couple of drills, and in the end, I just finished with no timer, just popping the gun on target and doing double taps to track the dot. I need to learn how to use that dot. That's what it boils down to. Last night I went to our club president was away, so he asked me to sit in and chair the meeting, and I told him to stay away more often because we spent a lot of money.
Nice.
everything we asked for, everybody in the in the membership that was in attendance was an agreement. First thing, Jason McIntyre has taken over our trap section, and one of the conditions basically was, I'll do it, but we need a new trap machine. What we have is old and antiquated and not working well. Or is it a skeet machine? Yeah, it's a skeet machine. Sorry.
Yeah, so sure, sure. It's a skeet machine. Yeah. Yeah. So, it shoots. No, no, no. No, the trap machine shoots skeets.
Right. That's right. What I said.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And then you trap them out of the air? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we said the shotgun section also has a bank account like the pistol section does. They charge money when you go to shoot. They sell you clays. They sell you ammo. And then they buy ammo and they buy clays. And they're self-sustaining. But the cost of a trap machine would have cleaned them out.
Right.
So, you know, I had said to Jason, I said, well, we'll just propose to the membership that the trap machine be purchased out of general club funds. So we ordered a $1,700 trap machine today.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Sal said, well, I need some 22 ammo. Well, how many? You know, probably 20,000 should do. All right, then. Let's ask for 20,000 rounds of 22. We got that. So we got it all at the gun dealer in McAdam. And what he did to save us on shipping was the trap machine is on a pallet. And then he put the 20,000 rounds of 22 on the pallet with the trap machine.
Nice.
You know how much extra the shipping cost for the 20,000 rounds?
$20.
$5.
$5.
$5 more on the shipping.
Nice. That's a good way to do that.
Yeah, 20,000. So what else did we get? Oh, Sal wanted to get some hats made for the membership. All right, no problem. How many you want? Well, he sells them by 24 hats. The pistol section alone ordered 44 shooting shirts from Techwear USA.
Mm-hmm.
44. I think 44 shirts is more people than attended the Nationals or the Provincials last year. So, let's double that or at least. So, okay. So we proposed an order of 48 hats for the club. That passed. I'm sure there was something else that went through too. Anyway, they were in a very, really charitable mood last night, needless to say. So,
cool.
And finally, I am the NFA's most recent field officer. There was a post on Facebook a little while ago about somebody becoming a field officer, and I said, "Oh, that sounds good. I could go for that. I've wanted to try and step up and do a bit more to recruit and whatnot." And of course, the NFA sponsoring the SummerSlam at our club and coming to the charity shoot, I thought, "All right, cool." So basically, it's what I do now, but with a title. I guess.
Sure. Now you got a title. Now it's official. When you bug people, they won't get mad at you. They'll get mad at the NFA.
It's not quite what I'm going for, but I do like the way you think. So, no, it's cool. You become, you know, like you said, when you contact somebody, you want to go talk to your MP or something. You say, you know, my name is Trevor Freeland. I'm an NFA field officer.
It kind of gives you a little bit of credibility, too, whenever you go to talk to people. So that's kind of cool.
And I also get tapped into some resources. They have, like, presentations that are ready to go. So if I want to sell the NFA to my club, I don't need to go sit in front of the computer for 4 hours and come up with my own statistics and my own slides for a PowerPoint.
You can just go get theirs and use it.
Exactly. So nice. I will definitely be doing that, making presentations every year to try and get, you know, recruit from within my club. Because I think what a lot of people don't understand at the club level, and this applies, you know, to the FUDs predominantly, is they're associate members of the NFA. When they join a club, they get their insurance through the NFA, but they're not individual members of the NFA per se.
Right. Yep.
So when you sign up and become your own member and then get your own insurance, you're going that much farther to protect yourself, right?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you're going that much further to protect our gun rights in Canada because you're contributing more to the actual organization as opposed to just buying your gun club membership. Exactly. You buy your NFA membership too. And I think the two should go hand in hand. You shouldn't buy one without the other.
No. And when the NFA or the CSSA is approaching the government to try and lobby for some kind of change, when they say, look, we have this many individual memberships, those are the numbers that really mean something, right?
That's right. Yep.
So that's it for me, my friend. How's about you? What did you do this week?
Well, I want to back up here just real quick and talk about the 20,000 rounds of 22 ammo you guys bought.
Excellent.
That's awesome. I thought there was no such thing as 22 ammo left anymore.
No, that's only in America.
That's just in America, apparently. So.
And you know what pisses them off?
People.
Why is it we can't find it, and yet we're still shipping it to the Canucks?
Well, the thing is, they probably aren't. we're probably just burning through our stockpile that we have up here. I mean, we just don't buy it that quickly, I guess. But they probably, I don't know, maybe they are still. But I, no, think,
I think some of it's still coming up here, but I think you're right. We have 35 million people.
They have 350 million right. people. So they have 10 times the population, yeah.
yeah.
And not only that, but I mean, I was listening to, I forget what show, probably Gun Dudes, I think, talking about hoarding. And there still is a bunch of people hoarding 22 ammo and all kinds of ammo down in the States. And they're scared that they're not going to be able to get it. And so, of course, when you're scared that there's a shortage, you go, you stock up, right? But, you know, I have no problem with being prepared and being stocked up on stuff. But to hoard stuff, you know, in amounts that, you know, you probably won't ever use or even worse. And, you know, I have nothing against capitalism. But whenever you are scalping ammo, for lack of a better term, buying it at shelf price and turning around and selling it at a, you know, 1,000% profit. It's not, you know, it's not, I guess there's nothing wrong with it in the sense that, you know, if you find a business opportunity, go for it. That's what America and North America really is kind of founded on, you know, make money for yourself. It's capitalism. I'm fine with that. But, you know, at the same time, you kind of feel for those who can't find the ammo and they just want to take their kids shooting. And they can't get the ammo to go take their kids shooting, and that's just that's irritating to me.
I'm not crazy about the guys buying it at Walmart and then taking it out to the parking lot and selling it to the next guy coming along. That's a little bit too much for me. But as far as this quote unquote hoarding goes, I don't even like, if I was buying as much 22 as I could afford, I wouldn't call it hoarding. And whether or not I would ever use it,
it's your money, and you bought your own ammo. You do it, that's it. With it, whatever you
know, and
you
I'll
want.
Buy as much as I can afford, yeah. And I'll shoot what I want, store what I want, mm-hmm. sell some to my friends, or give some to my friends. I mean, if every time, if I could afford it, every time I saw five bricks of Canadian Tire, I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd just take it home, put it with the rest of it.
Well, that's the thing. It's not like it goes bad. Well, I mean, it would eventually, but we're talking decades here.
The whole notion of hoarding, I don't know. I mean,
the thing is, I mean, from what I've heard, the ammunition is being manufactured at the same rate or faster than it was before this whole scare started. So eventually, the market is going to saturate and the rounds will be available again. So I guess, you know, just hang in there, guys, and you will get your ammo again soon, and I hope sooner than later.
Mm.
Really, so. Mm-hmm. Anyway. As for what I did, I went out and bought a bunch of 22 ammo. you know, you can never have enough.
Well, this is it. Like, you know, the only time you have too much ammo is when you're swimming. You said so yourself. So.
Or when you're on fire, apparently. That was a new one. I didn't hear that one before, but I guess it's sort of true. It's like the airplane adage, too. You never have enough fuel unless... Or you never have too much fuel unless you're on fire, but, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I thought that, you know, too much in swimming where ammo made a bit more sense. But yeah, no, you can't really have too much. It's not like it's going to collapse my house or anything, probably. So other than that, I've done my, of course, quote-unquote hunting, you know, the last couple of days out in the woods with the four-wheeler and stuff. Apparently, there are a lot of rabbits behind my house. I did not know this. I've seen a rabbit, at least one rabbit, every trip out so far. Just, you know, within 100 yards of my backyard. So this fall, when rabbit season opens back up, I'm just going in the backyard to go rabbit hunting. Why am I driving all over God's great country to go rabbit hunting when they're right in my backyard? So,
because you can't.
Yeah. Well, I probably won't shoot them anyway because I'll just miss or I'll be too noisy. I don't know.
Yeah, but you just got to make sure you get far enough away, and then who cares how noisy you are?
That's right.
As long as you do the legal limit thing, blast away, my friend.
Yes, sir. And other than that, I am currently in the middle of fabricating a quick disconnect rimfire scope mount. So I have, you remember that Nick Star scope that I had? Mm-hmm. It was a quick disconnect. It had that lever on the side.
It was a quick disconnect.
It was a quick disconnect. Yeah, no, you got that right the first time. Quick disconnect. So it has a lever on the side, and whenever you throw the lever forward, the scope mount is loose, and it'll go on and off your rail, and when you pull it back, it tightens it up. Well, it's designed for a Weaver or Picatinny rail, and I have a Marlin 795 as my 22 rifle, and that of course has just your standard 22 rail. So this won't work on it, not that I would want this on it anyway, because it stopped holding zero a while ago, as many of you probably remember. So I took it apart, and I took the parts that I needed, and I have taken a one-piece scope mount that I got from D&L Airgun, incidentally, and I have filed it and modified it and dremeled it and shaped it to accept the quick disconnect parts. And I hope by this time tomorrow, everything will have finished setting. I have some epoxy currently curing on the side of it there. And I hope to have a quick disconnect for my 1020 or for my Ruger 10, 795.
Ruger Marlin
7. My Ruger Marlin 970 Mark Savage 3 Tart 2. Mark 2, that's what it was I was thinking
killer.
Of. Yes, the frog killer. So anyway, that's been kind of my little project for the last couple of days. It's been kind of fun. I enjoy tinkering with stuff like that, so I'll get some pictures up if anybody's interested and show you how it all works and stuff. But the thing is, I like my 795's iron sights. And at the same time, every now and then I like to shoot it with a scope. But if I have the scope on it, I always want to be able to take the scope off and use the irons, because you can't, I don't have a low, or I don't have a see-through scope rings, because I think that mounts the scope too high. So this allows me to mount my scope at the height that I want it, but at the same time still take it off out in the middle of the woods without having to use tools, and go back to my irons if I want them. So,
or beat it off of the rock.
Well, I mean, that's what you would have to do before if you didn't have a quick disconnect, right? Either that, or you got to carry your Allen key around with you everywhere so you can take out the screws. But, you know, I didn't like that. If a scope or if a rifle has iron sights, you should be able to use them whether or not it has a scope on. So if it has a scope on, you got to be able to take the scope off without tools. Otherwise, what's the sense of it having iron sights in the first place? But that's just me. I'm funny that way. So anyway, that was kind of what I did this week. So I guess we will move on into some upcoming events, and we will go through these quite quickly because they are the same ones we say every week. So real quick, please go post our flyer somewhere public. Post a picture of you doing it to Facebook, and you will win a spot on our show. We've got a bunch of people who have been doing this since we started crying about it last week. So thank you to all of you who have done that, and we hope to see more. The long sleeve original run Slamfire Radio t-shirt has been won by the highest bidder of $75. Very generous, Paul Dodlin. So Paul, send us your money. We'll send you a shirt.
All of that's going to charity, correct?
Correct. It is going to the Lauren Tides Autism Foundation. That is a nice segue into our next event, which is the 4th annual charity shoot. You guys all know when that is, where it is, all that fun stuff. Come on out. Steve Lee's going to be there. It's going to be great.
Please RSVP. We need to know about buying ribs. Ribs, people.
Ribs. Yes, please RSVP Facebook or email. Email is slamfireradio@gmail.com. Don't forget to get your Versamax draw tickets. Tickets are $10 each or 3 for 20. Send an EMT to restigoucheGunClub@gmail.com. If you don't know how to spell that, just email them and they will tell you how to spell it. See what I did there?
Yep. Contact the show or something.
Yeah, we'll hook you up. And just don't, if you do manage to figure out how to spell that, don't forget to send an email with the EMT password. Otherwise, you don't get your tickets. Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course, that's coming up. Those of you who know about it, that's because you're coming. That's great. We have one spot available, $200. Sign up. It's going to be awesome. Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes is teaching that, so that's going to be great. Multi-gun, of course, is coming up August 16th and 17th. Registration form is on the Restigouche Gun Club website, so check that out. Get registered. Come play. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic with Master Instructor Daniel Shaw of the Gunfighter Cast. Again, two spots available now. So please, sign up. Come on out. Have some fun. It's going to be great. And then, of course, wrapping it up, we have the Spring Swiss Arms Fork It Over fundraiser. This is a dinner event in support of gun owners who have had their Swiss Arms rifles prohibited. So the event takes place June 21st. Head over to chrisandersonpresents.com for all the information you need on that. Okay, and now we would like to introduce a new segment called
We're Stuck.
We're stuck for an idea. We're going to call a listener and find out what they want to hear about on this week's show.
Mark.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Trevor Frohlock calling from Slamfire Radio. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Mark, you're live on the air. We put on a contest. Yeah, you're live on the air. We put on a contest that you didn't know about, and you won.
Really?
Yes. Would you like to know what your prize is?
Yes.
You get to pick the topic for tonight's show. What would you, Mark Giroux, the listener, like to hear the host of Slamfire Radio talk about? Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I'm not sure.
That's not the answer we were looking for. Thank you for playing. Next caller. No, I'm just going to – come on. Try again. You can do better than that. You're the executive producer for this week's show. So, yeah, so step up. It's your show. What are we going to talk about?
Stage design.
That's really kind of an action shooting radio thing, and they did it already. Try again. I'm just saying, next time we have to pick our winners more selectively, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess so.
You can do this, Mark. No pressure.
No.
What will this week's show be about?
I don't know.
Is there a particular caliber you would like us to discuss? Firearms, perhaps? A law? An aspect of hunting? Something?
Bullet comparison. 9.40 and 45.
Oh, you want us to do that one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an original idea, Mark. You did a good job coming up with that one. That's probably not been done very much, so I think we could work with that. That was what we call podcasting sarcasm. That's been done to death. Try again.
Are you having fun?
Well, we're trying. So far, so good. Maybe. Okay, third time's a charm. Let's go. Come on. Good topic. You can do it. So far, I've shot down stage design, 9 versus 40 versus 45. I'm not saying it's a bad topic. It's a good topic. Maybe a little overdone. Just like tonight's dinner, but that's my wife's fault. That's not your fault. Oh, I'm getting an evil look from the staircase. The wife is here, and she heard the done dinner comment. The irony here, folks, is I cooked my own dinner tonight, and it was good. She's not happy, yeah. All right, come on, man. You can do it. Okay, maybe do you have somebody else we could call, perhaps?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do.
Okay.
It's a gentleman from Dundee.
Yep.
Roger Levesque.
Oh, no, he's going to want to talk about revolvers, and they don't count. So that's three strikes. You're out. Thanks for playing. We needed a topic for the show this week. Stay tuned for next week's show when we are prepared.
Okay, well, Mark, thank you very much for playing.
Once again, I'm sorry.
Once again, yeah.
We'll make it up to him.
Let's try this again. Let's call somebody else.
Not that Mark wasn't good.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Wait, yes, I would. Just teasing, Mark. We kind of did put you on the spot, but it was really funny. So, anyway.
It's ringing.
Yeah, I can tell.
How's that coming through?
Clear.
Hi, Jeffries.
Hi.
Hi, this is Trevor Frohlock calling from Slamfire Radio. How are you?
Good.
Jeff, you're live on the show right now, and I'd like to welcome you to a new segment we call Randomly Call a Listener. So welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. Jeff, do you have a couple of minutes to play a game?
Sure, and just to keep it, you know, Alberta style, I'm calling you Bluetooth while I'm in my truck.
Is it a truck with big tires?
Of course it is.
Excellent. And does it get really poor gas mileage?
No, it's Toyota.
Oh, okay. But you still randomly flip off Prius drivers, right?
Yes, but I'm not tailgating them.
Excellent. Okay. All right, Jeff. So the game is called Pick Our Show Topic, which essentially means you are the executive producer for tonight's show. So let's hear it. You're calling the shots, big guy. What would you like to hear Slamfire Radio talk about on this week's show?
How Trevor's going to buy a Valmet. It looks like an AK.
No, they cost too much. That's strike one, Jeff. Three strikes in a row, buddy. So let's go. Let's try again. What do you got?
I don't know. How about the merits of shooting at IDPA and how it will not get you killed in a self-defense situation?
The merits of shooting IDPA and how shooting IDPA will not get you killed in a self-defense situation?
Yes, as Daniel Shaw once described.
I think it was quite. I think Daniel Shaw was actually picking on the range mall ninjas who shoot IDPA and think that they're now ready to take on the world in a gunfight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's kind of leaning the other way on that one. So that's officially strike two. One more chance. You can.
I don't know, because I really haven't listened to your show lately.
That's not a real good admission to make. It was my.
I don't work at home anymore, so I don't get a chance to listen.
It was my understanding that Slamfire Radio plays through speakers all throughout the Calgary Shooting Center. Is that not, in fact, correct?
I believe you were led astray on that one.
That's done pretty easily with me. I once bought some magic beans, but anyway.
I got you. My 12-year-old daughter just got in the truck. So how about how we get kids into shooting sports?
How we get kids? I think we have a winner. How we get kids into the shooting sports? And considering the Rescue Gun Club just purchased 20,000 rounds of rimfire ammo for our kids program today, it's timely. All right, that's excellent. We're going to run with that, Jeff. Thank you ever so much for being on the show this week, and keep him in the A zone. No, stay classy.
And I will shoot a gopher in the face just for you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Stay classy, buddy.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Well, that is actually a much better suggestion. What do you think?
Well, better. Yeah, better.
Better.
Okay, we can work with this one.
Definitely.
We can. And I mean, you know, like I said a couple of weeks ago, she did just get, she being, you know, Mr. Reese's daughter. He bought her a GSG 1911 for her birthday.
Oh, good. So he didn't want her to have a reliable gun either.
Not for her birthday. Oh. For passing grade 7.
Oh, yes, that's right. I remember that, because I remember when I passed grade 7 and nothing happened.
That's right.
I went on to grade 8, yes. Yeah. I didn't get no stinking 22 handgun. That would have been super cool, though.
She's got one of those rascals, too, so she's all equipped. She just needs to get a shotgun now. Get her a 410. What's the matter with you?
Because 410s are a horrible idea.
It's a shotgun for a girl.
Get her a 20-gauge. She will actually hit what she's aiming at and not get frustrated.
The idea of it, I don't know. I still say start with a 410, just so she could say she's shooting a shotgun.
So long as you only shoot at stuff on the ground, then I guess that's okay.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, the whole point of a shotgun is to shoot stuff in the air.
Eh. I can't do it, so I disagree. Okay, carry on. Kids, guns.
So, kids and guns, yes. How do we get our children involved in the shooting sports? And this is perfect, because neither Trevor or I have any children. So, you know, we are obviously the people to go to talk about this sort of thing.
That's right. We are experts in nothing.
In listening to others, and we don't even do that. In fact, Owen actually would have been a good guy to have on the show this week to talk about this, because he's been recently getting his daughters involved in the shooting sports, and he probably has all kinds of great stories, but he's not here, so...
He abandoned us again.
Yeah. We're
so
very
that he
sorry.
Could put food on his children's plates.
Whatever. They got rifles. Go shoot a squirrel.
Good eating. All right. So introducing children to firearms. If it was me, I would just leave my keys to the safe laying around.
That's probably the best way, really. Or just leave your guns and ammo out and let them just kind of discover it for themselves, kind of explore in their own way.
That's the new method of teaching science, the discovery method.
That's right.
I'm sure nothing bad can happen.
I'm going to discover how to put a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Very quickly and with a lot of noise.
Yeah, the truth is, though...
That's a bad idea.
That's a horrible idea.
That's a very bad idea.
Kids put holes in their friends way too often because firearms are kept in, you know, that way sometimes.
Insecure, but, yes. So, yeah.
So
no.
But for real?
Well, let's just start with some of the obvious basic ones here. Keep guns accessible. Not in an unsafe manner, but in the sense that if your kid says, "Oh, Daddy, can I see your gun?" Yes. Yes, you may.
And that's one of my fonder memories growing up. I don't recall my father ever saying no. If my father was in his bedroom puttering around or maybe just lying on the bed watching TV, the guns were always stored in his bedroom closet back before safes were required, back before trigger locks were required. But what he would do is he would have nails into the wall on the inside of the closet up above. So when you open up the closet doors, unless you walked into the closet, turned around, and looked up, you didn't know there were firearms there.
Right.
And so I couldn't reach them when I was small, but he would take something out and let me play with it. He'd give me a .22 to dry fire or leave whatever, the Enfield, the .30-30. If I was fortunate, he would take out the revolver. The revolver was kept under lock and key, though.
I think there were safe storage laws for those back then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what kind of revolver was it?
That was the German wreck. It was a .22.
Oh, yes, the wreck. I remember this gun. Yeah. And what a wreck.
yeah. I bought one not long ago, just out of pure nostalgia. And then I sold it because, you know,
because it was a .22
revolver.
Yeah. What other reason do you need, really?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's kind of the obvious one. Just kind of be open about your firearms ownership with your kids and explain to them what, you know, firearms are and how they work and kind of satisfy their curiosity that way. But eventually they will get to the point where they're going to want their own. And I think, as is the sort of tradition in this kind of area, is you get an air rifle for Christmas.
You know, you're going to shoot your eye out.
And you might shoot your eye out, whatever. You got two eyes. Don't worry
about
it.
Exactly.
Right? But, you know, you got the Red Ryder Daisy Red Ryder BB gun, right? Is it Red Ryder and Daisy, or is it just one or the other? I don't remember. But the Red Ryder BB gun, I got those for my nephews a couple of Christmases ago. Just loved them. And I think they still shoot them from time to time. They're a bit older now. They're a little bit too small for them, but they still take them out and have fun with them. So, BB gun for Christmas. Great idea to get your kids involved. They're not very expensive. And it lets them have their own gun, because that's a big step in a child's life, is I've got my own gun now.
I think even before that, toy guns for Christmas, not a bad idea. That's how I started.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And then I had access to the BB gun, and I pretty much had free reign of the BB gun on the farm.
Now, you had toy guns as a child,
mm-hmm.
and a BB gun as a child. Did you own toy guns and BB and pellet guns at the same time?
Yeah.
How did you not shoot yourself? Because you always point fake guns at each other, right? So how come you didn't shoot people with your BB gun? Was it common sense, or
we were told not to?
Something else.
Well, we were told not to.
Yeah.
And I could see the damage that the BBs would do when they would hit stuff. So I figured that's a nay-nay.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of debunk that. A lot of people say, well, if you play with toy guns, I mean, that teaches kids to point guns at each other. Well, look, believe it or not, kids are a little bit smarter than what we give them credit for sometimes. And they know the difference between a toy gun and a real gun. And just because they play cops and robbers or whatever it is they play these days with guns where they go bang, bang and shoot each other, doesn't mean that when they get a real gun, they're going to do the same thing. There's a little bit of education involved there where you need to remind them, okay, this is a real gun now, it's a BB gun, don't point at anybody. You teach them all those rules with the BB gun, the air gun. But having toy guns, I'm sorry, that's not going to lead to a more dangerous situation. At least not in my opinion.
I concur. Living proof.
Yep. Cool. So, that being said, I did raise up an interesting point there. Use the BB gun and the pellet gun as the intro for your Axe and Prove, if that's the way you want to go, or to the Jeff Cooper's Four Rules of Gun Safety. I did that with my nephews, and now, whenever they pick up a gun, I can see them. They don't always do it out loud, but I can see them going through the steps, making sure that the gun's safe. It's just kind of second nature to them now, is whenever they pick up a gun, it always gets pointed in the safe direction as soon as they pick it up. And the first thing they do is they check it to see if it's loaded, and they know how to do that. So it's just something that you instill in them right away. As soon as you give them a gun that will shoot something, teach them those rules. You can never start too early.
No, absolutely not. So after the whole air rifle thing, hunting with dad is also a great natural progression, where then you're using actual firearms and not air rifles or air pistols. And you can just go through the same progression again that I went through. 22, yep. 20 gauge, 12 gauge, Enfield, right?
Yep.
He moved me up through the calibers. First time I dropped an F-bomb in front of my father was when I was 14 and shot the 20 gauge for the first time. Day was ended.
And we are done.
Yeah.
And we are going home to get the Lysol.
Yeah, if you can't shoot a gun without talking like a pirate, you don't get to shoot the gun anymore.
Yar! How many yards is that?
Apparently, I closed my eyes when I shot up my first partridge, and that's why he flew away laughing.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that'll do it. I mean, you got to keep
this
both
bring
eyes.
Back all the memories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you went through these stages. I didn't. I'm coming at this from the other angle where my parents decided that I was not allowed to play with toy guns. I was not allowed to have BB guns. I was not allowed to touch my friend's BB guns. I wasn't allowed to shoot BB guns at the farm. I wasn't allowed to touch real guns, do anything. I wasn't even allowed to put my finger and thumb up as a fake gun and go bang, bang. I'd get in trouble for that. So, obviously, both approaches will work because here I am. However, I'm pretty sure Trevor's parents' approach is probably a little bit better. And by a little bit, I mean a lot.
Well, I mean, here I am, you know. I've been the only, like, I basically took university off, and even then, I still dabbled in a little bit of deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I mean, firearms were always accessible, and hunting was, you just did it, you know?
Yeah.
It was part of the culture that I grew up in. And so I think if you're into it, get them into it as soon as possible. And we know that, you know, Peter Dawson has his son shooting. Chris Babes, I'm sure, will have his daughter shooting if he's not already. Brian Bolivar has Facebook pictures of his girls shooting. I mean, we know Owen gets his girls shooting. Start them young.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes just second nature to them, you know. And Brian didn't buy his girls a Black 22 for nothing. He wanted them to learn from early on that a black rifle and a rifle with wood on it, a rifle is a rifle is a rifle.
Yep.
And there's not one that's scarier than any other. So good on him.
Absolutely.
And if you're not into hunting, and that's totally cool if that's your thing, if you're a vegetarian, I feel sorry for you, but whatever. Maybe you're just a range guy. Maybe you're a biathlete coach. Whatever. Maybe you're just an action shooter. Well, take them to the range with you. My advice for a range time with children, especially young children, is don't burn them out. Don't keep them there too long. If they get tired or if they get hungry, they're going to leave on a sour note, and they might not want to go back. Small
yep.
doses often is the key.
I agree with that 100%. I took the other approach initially when I first started taking people to the range. Just I was new to guns at this point too, and I wanted to take people out. And you know, when I went to the range, I'd go for a marathon session. I'd go for a couple hours. Because I wanted to shoot everything and have all kinds of fun. Well, after a while, you're just like, okay, well, I'm bored now. And then you leave and you've left the range bored. And so why would you want to go back? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, leave them wanting more. Take them out 45 minutes max, you know, for an adult. For a kid, maybe half an hour. Just take them. And now, this might not work for people who have to drive 2 hours to get to the range. You know, in that sense, maybe you're going to have to adjust your trip a little bit, you know, plan accordingly. But yeah, leave them wanting more because it's going to keep them excited and it's going to keep them wanting to go back and have more fun. Don't, you know, like Trevor said, don't wear them out. Don't burn them out. Don't leave hungry. If you have to be there for a couple hours, bring food.
Mm. The other thing that's important too is set them up for success.
Mm.
Don't put anything too far away. Don't put anything that they can't hit. And give them reactive targets. Let them knock
yes.
over pop cans. Let them
pop balloons. Yes.
Whatever. Like for kids in archery, I used to put, like when it was Easter time, we would take down the boring old targets that they kept score on, and we would put up pictures of the Easter bunny. Here, shoot the Easter bunny. Or shoot an Easter egg, and then we'd give them candy if they hit the Easter egg. Or Christmas time, we'd put up snowflakes and give them a candy cane if they hit a snowflake. Or maybe we shot Santa, maybe we didn't. I don't remember. It's all a fog now. But you just got to keep it exciting and keep it interesting. And if you're just going to give them a 22 and say, here, shoot at that piece of paper.
It's going to be
boring.
One of
the first things I ever shot was a television.
And good on you.
And look what happened a couple of years, or look what happened when you and I first met.
That's right.
We got shot a lot of televisions.
Yeah. Well. But yes, I mean, obviously don't shoot anything that you're going to get in trouble over, but have reactive targets. If you're in an area where you can shoot, pop cans and whatnot, do it. If your range is paper only, that's fine. bring interesting pictures of targets. Don't just bring circles and squares. Bring gophers and, you know, whatever.
One of those hard plastic balls that you put on the range floor and hit with a 22 and it rolls all over the place.
Those are fun. Or those flip-up targets where you shoot them, they flip up, then you hit them again, they all come back down. I mean, there's spinners. There's all kinds of interesting targets out there that you can shoot at. Sometimes even just a gong. Just a little 22 gong is all you need, yep, because it makes a noise and it moves every time you hit it. And you don't have to go out and reset it up every single time.
And give them a firearm that is appropriate for them.
That's right. Start them off with a 44-70 or nothing.
That's right. If it can't kill an elephant, then it's no good for your child.
Why are they shooting it? I mean, come on. What if they're charged by an elephant? You got to be ready for these things, people.
That's right. Especially zombie apocalypse elephants.
Will you imagine?
Yes.
That'd be crazy.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I can imagine, says Trevor. I've been off my meds for far too long.
So if you don't have a Rascal, well, buy one.
That's easy. Yeah. And
but
I mean, small 22 rifles are inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure you'll be able to pick something up that your kid will be able to shoot. Start them off preferably with single shot. Especially if they're still around the 8 to 10 years old range, you're going to want to start them off with something that as soon as they pull the trigger, the gun is instantly safe. I know that we all like to think that all of our training will kick in and they will always follow the rules, but sometimes kids get excited. I hit it and they start jumping around and waving the gun. I mean, you don't want a loaded gun being pointed at anybody. Obviously,
seen it.
Yes, it does happen. Obviously, if that does happen, you know, it's probably the end of the range trip. It should be. I mean, you got to teach them that that's inappropriate behavior. But whatever, at least nobody gets hurt over it. So single shot's probably the best way to go. If all you have is a semi, just load in one round. Start off with one shot. Once they get comfortable, once they understand what's going on, once they're done dancing around with the gun, then you can, you know, load up a few more rounds for them. But
and if you're fortunate to live in an area such as mine, the Rescuers Gun Club actually has, and this is all Sales Noel. I mean, God love him. We had comments this year at the Promotion Plus trade show we were at from a couple of parents that said, we only came back this year to come to this booth to get signed up for your 22 kids program.
Nice.
Our club puts on we do it one night a week for the month of July. And it's for ages 5 to 15, boys and girls. We supply the rifles. We supply the ammunition. We supply the safety glasses. We supply the hearing protection. We just ordered 20,000 rounds of ammunition for this program. Our club purchased 20,000 rounds of rimfire ammunition for the sole purpose of allowing children to shoot it.
I like it. Now, you mentioned something that I want to segue off of really quickly if I can. You mentioned hearing protection. Something that I have found to be fairly beneficial when introducing new shooters, and this applies to adults and children alike, double plug. Doesn't matter if you're shooting 22 or, you know, anything. Put in ear foamies and give them, like, ear defenders, the cups. A lot of people are noise sensitive. They don't like the loud noises of the guns. If you can mitigate that right off the bat, you can really improve somebody's experience drastically just by them not being startled by that loud noise every time the gun goes bang.
And hearing is one of those things that you cannot get back.
What's that?
Yep, exactly. When it's gone, it's gone. Nice try, though.
Yes, I try.
And if you don't have a kids program in your area at your club, there are organizations such as Air Cadets, Army Cadets. I don't know if the Sea Cadets get involved with firearms or not, but
they shoot the harpoons, I believe.
Right,
at the SEALs.
Nice, man. Our local Air Cadets actually contacted somebody in our club to find out about a range rental. They want to do it kind of off the books because officially the Air Cadets are not allowed to touch actual firearms. But
so it's a good thing we're introducing this or mentioning this on a, you know, Canada-wide podcast.
Well, they're not doing it under the, you know what I'm saying? It's just right. The kids want to come to the range. So
oh, God.
It.
So it won't be a sanctioned Air Cadets event.
That's correct.
It's just going to be
in their uniforms or anything
right.
like that.
Okay. Well, then that's fine.
Yeah. So basically, the group of kids want to get together with like one of their parents or one of their, I don't know, instructors, I guess, and rent our range.
Right.
They want to use our equipment, the whole nine yards. So that's really cool.
But within
the air cadets themselves, they do fire air rifles, which is cool. There's also Canada Games programs. The Canada Winter Games has air pistol, which, you know, again, it's marksmanship. The fundamentals are there. They're learning it.
They didn't switch to lasers yet?
No, not yet. They're still firing real live pellets.
Cool.
And what's really cool about when you get them involved in an organized firearms sport, it can lead into a lifelong involvement with the community, with the culture, with the sport. They can go through their competitive cycle, and when they're not competitive anymore, then they can get into coaching themselves. They can get into other administrative ends of the sport and then give back, and the cycle will just continue, right?
Mm-hmm.
I became a Cub Scout leader because I had been a Cub Scout.
Right.
Right? I had my turn. There was adults in my life that made a difference, that gave time to me. So I wanted to then give back. So when I was in university, I volunteered to become a Cub Scout. Thinking, my God, they gave me my own pack my first year. That was a nightmare. Oh, nobody got hurt.
Good.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Right.
So.
And nobody got lost.
Nobody got lost.
Probably.
Somebody peed in the garbage can once.
That happens. These things do happen from time to time.
Oh, I got to tell this story.
All right.
So I walk in the bathroom and two of them are laughing their butts off while the third one's peeing in the garbage can, right? So, all right, you need to clean this up. You two need to, you know, wait at the door. And I kept the other two kids there with me while he cleaned up and stuff. And I brought him outside, and this is what I said to him. Because I didn't want to tell his father. I didn't know how to handle this situation. I was like...
Well, it's kind of an odd situation.
21
really.
Or 22 years old or something. And I'm like, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to tell your father. You are. It's nice. On you to be a man and fess up and tell your dad what happened.
Yep.
So I put... I mean, this is like a 10 or 12-year-old kid, and I just put all this on him. Like, right? I'm not going to rat you out. You're going to man up, and you're going to tell your dad yourself. So it's up to you to make a choice right now. Are you going to be a good person? Are you going to be honest? Are you going to fess up and tell him what you did or not? I'll know next week when you come back by how you behave, whether or not you told your dad or not. So I said, you're not participating in any activities for us tonight. You're in like the worst time out of your whole life. Go over there and sit on the bench and think about what you're going to tell your dad when he arrives.
Nice.
I don't know if it was nice or not, man, but I had nothing. That's what I came up with.
It worked.
I wanted him to step up and think about being honest, I guess.
Yeah, well, and that's the nice thing if we can segue back into kids getting involved with guns. It really is a fantastic way to teach children about responsibility. Mm-hmm. There's really something a little bit different whenever you get into firearms. It really isn't like anything else. I guess the closest thing you can kind of compare it to is learning how to drive. You're now in control of machinery that could potentially be dangerous. And so now you are responsible for the safety around you depending on your actions and the way that you operate that equipment. So, you know, it really drives home, I think, for a lot of people, the fact that, okay, I'm starting to grow up now. I need to be a bit more responsible. And I can tell you, several people who I've taught how to shoot guns and have introduced them into firearms, you really do see a change in their personality just because they now are that much more aware.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So...
Definitely. Yeah. And it gives kids an opportunity to take on a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that were in the 22 program last year are now mentoring the kids that are in the program this year.
Right. You know, and that is a great way to kind of progress it along. And I think that is the natural next step, is to get the kids to become the instructor.
Yep. Step up for sure.
Yep.
So what else do we got?
The next step, of course, is getting involved in more kind of national events. Did we already talk about the Canada Winter Games?
We did, yep.
Oh, okay.
And becoming active for life, you know?
Right. Yeah, I kind of tuned out there, I guess, obviously.
It's all right.
I do that from time to time.
I've been texting a fellow NFA field officer the whole time. Andrew
Oh, Burr. Well, la-dee-da. Look at these field officers texting each other.
That's right. Apparently, there's quite a few in New Brunswick.
Yeah, I'm not one.
Speaking of field officers, you know what's going on this week? Do you know what's going on today? Do you know what started today?
I don't know.
Actually, it has nothing to do with field officers, but...
But you're going to tell us anyway.
Yeah, Styx and Paul are at Mag 40 with Chaz and Glenn Tate, no less.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that one, but I thought it's the middle of the... I thought at the time, oh, it's kind of the middle of the school year. It's hard to take off time. Whatever. Yeah. You know, if it's the end of the school year, I should have called in sick, but that's a nay-nay.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that unless you're actually sick, I guess. And being sick of not having freedom apparently doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because got what I see what I did there?
I did.
I didn't. I'm kind of hoping you can explain it to me.
I'm back to the texting.
So we're back to kids. We talked about starting them off with the correct firearm caliber, which is 44-70. Actually, 22 is better. But let's talk about the equipment itself. Single shot's good. Bolt action's good. Semi-auto's okay if you have one shot at a time. But what do you start them off with, the sighting system? Is red dot the best way to go? Scope, irons. What do you think?
Well, I think a red dot is probably the easiest because kids that they're having a hard time to visualize, even if you draw a five-year-old what a sight picture looks like, and then tell them to now do that with your sights, it's hard for them to put it together. But if you point the red dot at the balloon, it's just one thing. I think it's easier. It's inherently easier to use a red dot than lining up a front sight and a back sight.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I've seen kids with cross-eye dominance at our 22 Kids program. It's hilarious. They got a right-handed rifle shouldered on their right shoulder, and they got their head leaned all the way over
so they
can look through the sights with their left eye.
Yeah, my nephew used to do that. He would lean his face. It was so uncomfortable. I'm like, what are you doing?
And he's it took me a form, right?
Yeah, it took me a couple of sessions with him to figure out. Yeah, yes, I'm that slow. He was left eye dominant and right-handed.
No, it's. I mean, you're not trained what to look for. It might take you a while to figure it out. The other range officers at the range didn't know why the kids were doing it. Some of them didn't even realize the kids were doing it, but because I dealt with eye dominance for archery forever.
Yes.
So
anyway, what do you do in that case?
With the eye cross dominance?
Yeah.
Well, I put the rifle on their other shoulder, close the left eye. If they can't close one eye, then, rifle on the other shoulder.
Yeah, that's a bit of a debate. I've seen it go both ways. Some people say, well, it's best to just have them learn to shoot with their right eye by closing their left. And then other people say, no. Teach them to shoot left-handed. And I think where you make your decision on that is at what point did you discover the cross-eye dominance? Did you discover it the first day to the range? Because if so, and they haven't shot guns before, you can easily teach somebody to shoot left-handed if you're teaching them from the start.
That's right.
Once they've been shooting for a number of years, it's really hard then to switch shoulders, I think.
Yep, that's what happened to me in archery. By the time I learned I was doing it wrong, it was pretty much too late.
Yeah, you'd already had all your muscle memory.
Yeah, it's kind of like going to this open gun. I got to learn everything all over again, it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur. Very good. Now when it comes to handguns, cross-eye dominance isn't as big of an issue because you can just use your left eye, just shift your hand over a little bit. You're not touching your shoulder or your cheek weld and all that. That none of that comes into play. So you just move your hands over a bit and then you're all set. What about introducing kids to handguns?
Yep, sooner the better.
Yeah, again, eh?
I started off with... It was a Crossman 22 caliber pellet pistol that had a pump, and it was a funny looking thing. It had a real long barrel and a real long pump. Well, you know the model because you got one very similar to it.
I've got one in my hands right now.
Yeah, what is it?
It's the model 1322.
Right.
Yep.
Mine didn't have the adapter for the stock, but
I took that off. I put mine back into pistol config. This thing is accurate too.
Yeah. Yours is the 177 or is it the 22?
No, I got 20. I got this one and got the 2240, which is the CO2 powered version of the same gun. Oh, so it's a shorter barrel, but it runs CO2 cartridges instead of a pump.
And one of those whacked a rabbit, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, the CO2 powered one with half power CO2 in minus 10 degree weather right through the spine, through the left lung, and almost out the front of the chest.
Nice.
It was a, yeah. So they're plenty powerful enough for rabbits, that's for sure. So, and that's the cool thing. In New Brunswick and Ontario, for sure. I don't know about the other provinces because the hunting regulations vary from province to province. But in these two provinces, for sure, hunting with air pistols is absolutely legal. It is allowed. So long as you follow the rest of the rules. You can't have a loaded gun with you in the car. You can't use them for hunting waterfowl because it's a single shot. Blah, blah, blah. As long as it's a non-controlled firearm, you know, it doesn't exceed 500 feet per second, so to make it a restricted firearm, it's completely legal to hunt with. So that's something else you can do with your kids is get them a nice, you know, pellet gun. If they want to get into handguns, you can take them hunting. You take the shotgun and go grouse hunting, and if it's on the ground, they can take a shot at it with the BB gun or pellet gun first, and then you get it in the air whenever they miss. So, again, just lots of fun stuff you can do with your kids. Just use your imagination. Get out there. Have some fun with them and teach them some firearm stuff.
And on if this is the final note, I guess.
Well, we've got 15 minutes left, so we better not be the final note.
Just remember, does that 15 minutes include the new segment?
No, it doesn't. So right, we might have like 10 minutes left.
Right. keep in mind, you know, just once again, something that's important to remember is keep it fun. If you are competing with social media, with game systems at home, if your kid does not have an Xbox or a PlayStation or some kind of video game system at home, you're either doing it right or doing it wrong. I'm not sure. It depends who you ask. But it's hard to say no when all the other kids have it. It's what's normal. I mean, I grew up with a Nintendo, but I also grew up with a go-kart and a mini bike. So I spent as much time outdoors or more than I did indoor. We played Nintendo when it was raining. We couldn't ride our dirt bikes. But you're competing with all those things that we did not necessarily grow up with, depending on how old you are. If you want them to show a genuine interest in it and want to go back, keep it fun because they've got a lot of distractions in their life. And they're going to school, depending on where you live, they're going to school with a bunch of people who aren't gun owners. There are some schools that are just frankly downright anti. And so they may not want to go to school and talk about being a gun owner. We got Nick. He's a 15. No, how old is Nick now? Yeah, Nick's still 15. 15-year-old Ipsic shooter. He's currently the club man versus man champion, shooting a 40 caliber Glock 35 at the age of 15, cleaned all of our clocks. And he goes to school every day wearing this nice, you know, your Ipsic jacket from the match, Matthew?
Yeah.
Well, he wears that. That's like the Hells Angels around this town. You see them all over the place, right?
Yeah.
The bus drivers wear them. Some of the teachers wear them.
Yeah.
One of the students wear them. Like,
yeah, I wear mine to school, too, here. And, of course, you all heard the stories of the school that I work at. It's not anti-gun in the least.
No. Water gun fights or competitions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It was actually Owen had an interesting story that he was going to share, and he's not here, so I'll share it instead.
Nice.
They do heritage fairs here in New Brunswick, and it's basically like a science fair, except it's you pick a part of Canadian heritage, and you do a little display. And it's a way for kids to kind of learn our Canadian heritage and to kind of educate others as well. So the winners of the Heritage Fair get to go to the provincials, I guess, or maybe regionals first, then provincials. Well, anyway, the school that Owen works at was hosting either the regionals or provincials last week for the Heritage Fair, and Owen was wandering through the area where all these kids were set up with heritage projects, and he said, you know, probably half of them had something to do with firearms in one way or another.
Wow.
When you think about Canada's heritage, like most civilized countries, our country was founded on war. There's going to be a lot of wars that have gone through with in our history. And of course, when you're in history class, when you think of history, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Mm, you're, All the, you're, you're learning about some kind of conflict somewhere.
That's right. And so he said that the displays ranged from, you know, topics actually on the actual firearms to, you know, just different battles and whatnot. But he said some of the more interesting ones were ones that were focused on hunting. There was, you know, the our heritage of Aboriginal hunting and our heritage of just, you know, the new settlers hunting. And then he said even modern hunting. And he was walking around and he saw this, probably, I don't know, 10 or 12-year-old girl wearing, like, pink camo. And she had a hunting display set up. And he kind of walked up to her and said, you a hunter? And she looked up at him and said, yeah. And he just fist bumped her and walked on.
Nice.
So, yeah, no, it's really nice to see that, you know, we hear a lot of stories, and we have in the past heard a lot of stories of schools being very anti-gun. You know, you get the stories of the kids chewing their Pop-Tarts into the shape of a gun and getting suspended. You know, having a level 2 imitation firearm. We all know what that is, right? Your thumb and your finger. That's what they call a level 2 imitation firearm in some schools.
That's called a hand.
That's called a hand, yes. Yeah. But it's in the shape of a gun, therefore it's a handgun.
Yeah, well, it depends on what goes along with it. You know, if some, yeah.
It depends on the age. It depends on a lot of things, right?
It depends
if
on somebody's, a lot of things.
If somebody's
depends
using
on
it
who's
at,
doing it.
Yeah, if it's an intimidation.
If the best kid in the school does it as a
nothing.
Joke. Then chances are he's not getting suspended. But if the school bully who's terrorizing people points a finger and a thumb at somebody and says, you're dead, bang, bang.
Yeah. There's going to be trouble at that point.
Context matters.
And the thing is, though, I'm okay with that so long as context is rolled into it. But a lot of times we have these zero tolerance policies that just, you know, oh, you made a level 2 imitation firearm. You're suspended for a week.
Yeah. They just have upset the right parent.
Yeah, well, if you're in Ontario or in other jurisdictions in Canada where, you know, the rabidly anti-gunners have kind of taken over your school or the school where your children go to, keep that in mind. That's something that you're going to have to fight at home. You're going to have to teach your kids and remind them that what they hear at school might not necessarily be the truth. Or even just what you want them to learn.
At my school, when I see videos of my students shooting Xboxes in the woods, I ask them where their eyes and hearing and eye protection are.
Yep.
And then I give them a copy of the RCMP safe storage guidelines.
There you go.
That's how we do it at my school.
And that's the way it should be done. I mean, educate. You don't need to flip out because people have guns. I mean, where you live and where I live, we're in fairly rural areas, and guns are pretty commonplace. You know, it's not surprising to run into people out in the woods almost on any given day and find people shooting stuff. So that is nice to have that in this area. But, you know, I understand. I came from Ontario, from London. And there's nowhere you can just go out and shoot unless you know somebody who owns property and they give you permission to go shoot on their land. There's no open space just to go out and shoot your gun and have fun. You either go to the range or you go to private property. There is no crown land. You can't just go out and shoot. So, you know, the guns just aren't as available as prolific, I guess. And so, yeah, people aren't as used to them as they are around here. Something you Ontarians need to work on. Yep.
Concur.
Very good. All right. Well, unless you have anything else we need to tie into here, I think we could probably get ready and move on to our listener feedback.
Okay. Alrighty, let's jump into the listener feedback portion of the show.
Beauty, why don't you bring us this first one here, Trevor?
I will, Matthew. Thank you.
No
it
problem.
Comes to us from, you're so polite.
I just try to be. No, I'm sorry.
No, no, really, no. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're right. More polite.
You're right. No, you are more. Anyway, this comes to us. My God, I hate myself right now. This comes to us from Manny. He says, hello, all. As a gun owner from Winnipeg, I would like to say this city truly is unique. My personal experience from growing up here makes me think that this city could use a facelift. Last week, when I was getting ice cream on a Saturday afternoon, a pack of Hell's Angels rode by, followed by eight cop cars. This area is also not a bad neighborhood at all. Winnipeg and all its violence comes mostly from criminals. It usually is not acts of violence towards the public. Even the shootings outside Opera Ultra Lounge had criminal connections. I also would like to add that I want to be a police officer when I'm older, and that your podcast has greatly educated the public and myself regarding firearms and firearm laws in Canada. Your casual approach to discussing firearms is light years better than a dry podcast with no humor. Thank you, gang, for the great work. Manny from Winnipeg. Well, thank you, Manny. Nice to hear that.
Let's carry on now with a dry, no sense of humor approach to the rest of the show.
Absolutely. It's time to get serious.
Yes. Oh, Manny has Trevor, yes. I hear you are the funny man of the show.
That is correct, Matthew. I am the funny one.
Very good. Let us carry on.
Let us. P.S. I'm relatively new to firearms in relation to most gun owners who have been hunting or shooting since they were little kids. I have a hilarious and ongoing story about my entrance into shooting guns. Let me know if you want to hear all. Of course we want to hear all
Yes,
about
we do. Tell us now. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Manny, tell us a story. Yep.
We're listening.
Manny? Manny, I don't think Manny he can hear us. No.
Maybe we need to turn up our microphones.
Manny!
Tell us the... No. Right.
Yeah, no, write us in, or better yet, if it's like something that would be funnier with audio, record the story and send in an audio submission, and we'll play that. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get one that's not played from the inside of a truck for once.
Right.
Or recorded from the inside of a truck.
Well, Archie Perry doesn't record from the inside of a truck, does he?
No, he
might.
He records while eating, drinking, and shooting.
Yes, that's true. He does.
All class. And Archie, where have you been? He's working again.
Must be. What's going on? He hates us. So anyway, Manny, thank you for the email. That's a good one. And we're glad to do our best at educating you in a humorous fashion.
Yes,
we are. All right, this next one comes to us from Sharp97. I think that's his real name. I'm not sure.
Yep. It's on his birth certificate. I saw it.
He goes, "Hey, guys, hope you are all well. Love the show. I'm writing this near the end of episode 50, slowly catching up. I don't have a PAL, but I do hope to get my RPAL. I think that whether you call it a license or a certificate, what has to change is the law, because it's the law that makes it illegal to own a firearm, not the license. But moving on. Well, before we move on, it's, yes, you're right. The law has to change so that we don't need a license. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you had your mic muted, didn't you?
I did.
You were eating something, weren't you?
No.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just very nasally.
Oh, that's lovely. Moving on. Says Sharp97, "You guys mentioned a bunch of times that in Canada, toy guns don't need the red barrel. Then how would you differentiate between replica firearms, also known as prohibited, and airsoft or toy guns? I have asked at a sports store, I won't mention the name, but it rhymes with Pass Bro, and they weren't very helpful. All the guy said was, well, we sell them." Okay.
The difference is a replica firearm doesn't shoot anything. An airsoft gun is an airsoft gun. It shoots airsoft stuff. Well, replica firearm is really supposed to replicate what an actual firearm looks like, but doesn't actually function or fire anything.
Yeah, they're really convoluted and messed up laws. You can have a one-to-one replica of a firearm, which I do. I have an airsoft Glock, and it's perfectly legal because it shoots stuff. Now, I guess technically, if it was broken and it didn't shoot anything, then it would somehow become prohibited.
No, it would still be a broken airsoft
gun. It'd be a broken airsoft gun.
You can get replica firearms actually say replica on them.
Yes. Yep. And they are non-functioning, and they look like guns, but they aren't guns. They're just hunks of metal that look like it. And apparently, those are illegal. And it's because they think people will point them at cops and get themselves shot. And to which I reply, okay.
Exactly.
If you're dumb enough to point a fake gun at a cop and he shoots you, well, you're dumb enough to get shot by a cop.
That's what we call natural selection.
We don't need the red barrel because you just don't point guns at cops.
Yeah. And if you pointed a gun at a cop with a red barrel and he shot you anyway, to him I would say,
bravo.
Like your jib, sir.
Yes. May I subscribe to your newsletter?
That's right.
Because what's stopping me from taking my gun my real gun and painting the end of it red and then going and robbing banks with it and shooting people with it. Oh, it's not real. It does has a red tip on it. Well, surprise.
I believe the answer to your question is common sense.
I believe you are correct.
And maintaining your status as a law-abiding citizen.
That is also correct.
Yeah. So the whole notion of the red tip barrel is a crock because, yeah, some people paint the tips of their real guns barrels red.
Or
they won't get shot.
Yeah.
Don't put anything at a gun that looks like. Don't put anything at a gun that looks like a cop.
There you go. That's I like it. The way you think.
All right. Don't point a cop at a gun.
All right. So now that we've mentioned that,
where were we?
He says, as for the safety course, I don't think it needs to be changed. If we got rid of the Firearms Act, we would just have to adapt to the new rules. As for live fire training, I served in the IDF, and it is not necessary for safe handling of a firearm. If you want to make that a requirement for CCW, that sounds like a grand idea. I don't want to get hit by some yahoo who didn't take the time to learn how to use his tool for self-defense.
Or an NYPD officer.
Right. Sorry for the squirrel, he signs off. Keep up the great show, Sharp 97. You served in the IDF? That's cool.
I don't even know what that means.
Israeli Defense Force.
Ooh, sweet.
You should write us another email and tell us about your service with the IDF, because that would be a really cool email, I'm guessing, because I hear the Israeli Defense Force is kind of neat. So, it's all I got.
Excellent. I'm all assuming right. This guy owns a Tavor, because I'm just naive like that.
Oh, yeah, no stereotype and pigeonhole and all that stuff. That's great. Good job, buddy. Yep.
That's how I roll.
Of course he does. He served with the IDF. They all use Tavors. I got nothing. Why don't you bring us the next email from...
Karas.
Yes.
All right. Karas says, every time I read that, I picture Captain Kirk going, "Con!" Anyway. Hey, guys. It's Karas. But
hey, Karas. Hey, Karas.
That was me. That wasn't actually him.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll read it.
Oh, you're reading what he's writing.
Right.
Gotcha. My bad.
Don't you see the notes?
Carry on.
The gun center in Cambridge has a slam fire poster now. Sweet.
Nice.
With a thick construction paper back. Excellent. Only problem is the jerk in the picture who put it there. And I got my pal now, so I'm getting a Mossberg Maverick 88. Pew, pew!
I'm pretty sure that's going to be bang, bang, or kaboom, kaboom.
Boom, kaboom. Yep. Yeah, shotguns go boom, kaboom, Karas. They give you a license, you don't
and
know that.
Actually, the 88 goes boom, boom.
Sorry, what does it do?
Boom, boom.
And what does the cow say?
Moo.
All right, that's cool. Did we see this picture yet?
I did, yes. It's a picture of Karas putting the gun picture.
Is it on our Facebook page?
No, he sent it to an email, I think.
Oh, well, you got to post it on the Facebook page.
Well, he might not know what Facebook is. I don't know.
Oh, you said you.
Oh, me? I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding me?
Too much.
That's a lot of work.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. We're the worst listeners ever. Wait.
We're not even the listeners.
We're not the listeners. Take this one from sponsor. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, relax.
I didn't even have any sugar today.
When you're done having your stroke there, just sit down and be quiet. I'll carry
on. Don't make fun of me because I'm all strokey.
While I'm reading this, why don't you look and see if there's an iTunes review?
Do.
All right. This one comes to us from Spencer. He writes, "Hey guys, I just wanted to share this t-shirt I got in the mail today. It really reminded me of your discussion about bare hands versus man hands the other week. And it's a picture of somebody he has bare arms, like rawr, bears, arms. They're all furry. It's like
Yogi.
Yeah, it's a joke. But anyway, this is a campaign t-shirt being sold by a woman running for the state superintendent of schools here in Georgia, also known as the Guns Everywhere State. If there was a state that I wanted to move to, I think Georgia might be it.
Vermont, followed by Utah.
Vermont's good too, yeah. Anyway, I love how she picked the Second Amendment to illustrate how most school systems water down the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in their lessons these days. Yes, they do. On a separate note, Trevor shouldn't worry too much about using steel-cased ammo in his AR. The problems come up when you mix brass and steel without a good cleaning in between. I put a link below to the Box of Truth website where they go over this in detail. Since there's no cheap Chinese brass case 5.56 allowed here in the U.S., we shoot a lot of steel-cased ammo. I've got a couple of cases of the Tool right now. I'm pretty sure it's Tula, anyway. And the only thing I don't like about it is the smell of the powder. It reeks.
It does. It smells like you're shooting corrosive.
Yeah, and it's not corrosive.
When we shot it that time, well, you remember, you were with me.
I was there.
Didn't you find it had that sweet smell, kind of like a corrosive primer?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh, good. I'm glad it wasn't just me. You know, I wasn't really concerned about it. It's just a listener who also has the same model of AR as I do had stuck cases in the chamber, so he gave me a heads up as all. And told me I should bring a cleaning rod with me. And, of course, I forgot, but I had no issues. So
I looked through that website really quick. I didn't actually read all the words because there were many of them.
And reading is hard.
There were pictures, though. And it showed pictures of throat erosion, rifle wear, like the rifling in the barrel wearing, and erosion around the gas port. Now, the steel-cased ammo had way more erosion than the brass case, and I'm just curious as to why that is. Now, I don't want to actually go back and read it, so if somebody wants to write in and explain to me why steel-cased ammo is more abrasive. I don't know why the case would determine how abrasive something is, unless, now here I'm theorizing, maybe the steel is actually, bits of it are coming off with the combustion and parts of that steel are going down the barrel. And those little bits of steel are like, quote unquote, sandblasting, which would actually be steel blasting the internals of that barrel. I wonder if that's the theory. If that's true. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but if anybody wants to clue me into that, it would really save me a lot of reading. Trevor, did you find a best iTunes review this week?
I do. This one was posted yesterday.
Nice. So it's recent. Please tell me it's a good one.
Well, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, good. I like this.
Okay,
this is going in.
It comes to us from Bushman447 at 5-star review entitled Excellent Show. Hey, just want to say I love the podcast. You guys do a great public service. The last episode, 56, was really educational. I would appreciate more myth-busting episodes. Oh, we were going to do one tonight, too.
We were going to, and we said no.
The first time I
bought... Well, Trevor said no, to be perfectly honest.
The first time I bought 9mm hollow points, I was shocked. Thought that was illegal. Life is already complicated with work, school, friends, and family. Studying the firearms law here in Canada is a blunderbuss experience. You guys simplify it, and again, thanks for busting those crazy myths. Thanks from Toronto. Awesome.
Well, there you go. Maybe what we'll do, not this show, but because we've already done this one, but maybe next one or the one after, we'll look for some more myths or misillusions or other synonyms for myth.
And, send us illusions? Really?
I got nothing. Send us a list of stuff you'd like to hear about, maybe, and we could talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But
What I was trying to say when you cut me off.
I do that. I do that.
And the other one was despite their East Coast accents. Actually, it's because of our East Coast accents.
Right.
Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, so you have shout-outs here? So first of all, thank you. Who was that guy that sent that in?
That was, I closed it, Bush something.
Yeah, okay.
Bushman 447?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Yeah. So my shout-out goes to Logan Wilson and his proud new Papa Ed. Congrats to you and the missus. Ed and his wife had a baby this morning in Winnipeg. So that's baby number two for them, born today. I was getting text updates. First, I was a little confused. I got a text message that said, I'm in the hospital having a baby, to which I replied, oh, my God, really? How far apart are your contractions? Does your wife know? And then I put it together and stuff, and I realized it wasn't him. It was his wife. And so
right. And I then your biology... Your biology kind of kicked in there.
Wasn't there that day when they taught that part of the class.
Right.
So, yeah. So, Papa Ed, baby number two, congratulations, man. Logan Wilson will be the newest Slamfire listener, I'm sure. On nights when he can't get the little guy to go to sleep, he'll just play our show.
There you go, because that'll put him to sleep, or he'll wind up a little slower than the rest of the kids in his kindergarten class.
Yeah.
One or the other. So, cool. All right. Well, I don't have any shout-outs because I don't. That's a good reason. So, please, be sure. We talked about this a little earlier. join one or both of our national firearms organizations. They're there to help you. And we say this every week, and it might seem like it's repetitive. It's because it is, but it's also true. The CSSA and the NFA, they work for you. You need to support them. You need to be a member. Please sign up. Also, check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada website forum thing. It's a really cool place to hang out with other gun owners and just discuss anything gun related. They got all kinds of sub forums, Rimfire. It's the only one I can think of because it's the only one that's important. stuff like that.
They gave us a home over there. So.
They did. And we have our own little forum in there where you can go in and talk about our show and nobody ever does. And I cry myself to sleep when I go in there and see that only Double Up Buck has posted in there yet again. And I like it. Yeah, on my big pillow. I got a little head, though, not a big head. Anyway, that's another tangent. We're going to about tangents in math class today. Squirrel. So, Facebook, you could check us out there, too. Oh, the GOC thing. You could win a Tavor just by signing up and going and entering into that. It's free. You could win a Tavor for free. Just go sign up for the contest. Go do it. It's free. There's no reason not to.
Who wouldn't like to win a Tavor?
Well, that guy who's in the IDF probably wouldn't want one. He's already got one.
What's wrong with having two?
Well, I don't understand the question.
Yeah, you're that guy. I don't like to have more guns than I need.
I am that guy. I already have more guns than I need. Anybody want to buy some guns? Just kidding.
If you were going to sell one gun, I would highly suggest you dump the bolt action 20-gauge shotgun.
I might, actually. I'm thinking about getting rid of that because it's kind of... It's a neat little gun, and I thought it would be neater, but it's not, and it's kind of...
It's a bolt-action shotgun.
It's a bolt-action shotgun. What do I need a bolt-action shotgun for? I'm thinking, I had a single shot. I wanted it because it was 20-gauge, and I like 20-gauge, so yeah. I have a single shot 20-gauge, but I wanted something where I could get quick follow-up shots, so of course I got a bolt-action shotgun, because that gives you quick follow-up shots.
Yeah, I wanted quick follow-up shots, too, so I bought a semi. What do I know? Well, I'm not good at this gun thing.
Apparently, you need to work on your bolt action a bit quicker. I don't know.
Yep.
So anybody wants to buy a Mossberg something or other bolt action 20-gauge shotgun.
With barrel cut off.
Yes.
First thing he does.
Cut the barrel. It's too long. Yep. And as we learned last week, that's not illegal.
No,
that's so there
correct.
You go. There you go. Anyway, Facebook. I think we're at 996. We're four away from 1,000. You could go like us and push us one step closer to our 1,000 like on Facebook.
Please.
Please do it. It would be cool. All right. Please be sure to check out all the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which is really neat. You just go to the website, click the Listen Live, and you can listen live wherever you are. You can listen on your iPhone or just regular smartphone or on your computer, wherever. It's pretty neat. All kinds of really cool content on that network. Check it out. Also, the Crusader Podcast Network. That is the first, as far as we know, multinational. I guess it's kind of binational, isn't it? Canada, United States kind of teamed up, and it's all kinds of pro-gun podcasting stuff. It's really, really cool. Lots of really good shows on there. Go check them out. Listen to some more. And us, yeah.
Lots of good shows and us.
And then there's, we're there.
Yeah.
So we kind of do drag down the status quo a little bit, but somebody's got to be that guy, and here we are.
But the important thing is, we're sorry about it.
I think I'm more sorry than you are.
No, it's impossible. I'm actually seeing a therapist over this kind of thing.
That doesn't surprise me.
You know.
All right. Well, Trevor, stay safe.
Be aware.
And we'll see you down the road.
I'm Paul Lathrop?
Wonderbar.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.